Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Kill this.
Birdie num num.
Hello.
Birdie num num.
Check one, check two. What's up, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Num Num Podcast, the BNN. Having a good week? I really hope you all are having a good week, and it's the 20th of 2020. Whoa, you see what I did there? This week, ladies and gents, I want to talk about, as our resolutions are probably very quickly coming to a halt and we are going back into the same patterns, I want to talk about something that I think we as South Asians, we as Indians, and we as human beings of Mother Earth do all the time, but we don't realize it because we think we're doing the right thing, but we're actually doing the wrong thing. And why is Nike so popular? Because they have the slogan or the saying, just do it. And so many of us who grew up in our societies, in our cultures, were taught work hard, study hard, plan. Planning, failing to plan is planning to fail. And I hear you, but a lot of us only ever plan, and we never ever do, and that is also a very tricky, precocious situation to be in. If precocious is even the right word, I have no idea, you know what I mean? Like, oh, hey guys, I'm a lifestyle blogger who uses words incorrectly. Okay, I'm not gonna go there, but anyways, I struggle with this all the time. I was reading this book many years ago. I believe the book was called The War of Art, Playing on the Art of War by Sun Tzu, or however you pronounce that. But basically, many people email me, message me, call me, comment, hey, what camera is that? Or hey, what microphone are you using? And guess what? This stuff is each like 8 years old. I'm looking at a DSLR camera that a lot of people still ask me, which one do you use? I want to get into podcasting and YouTubing. Which one is yours? It's pretty good. It's 10 years old. It had like a 3.5-star review on Amazon. My mic, I recorded this podcast earlier today, but my freaking recorder broke because the SD card like wasn't jostled in properly. But you know what? None of that really matters because these days, most things will take you 95% of the way there. You want to do something, it's already in your pocket. You see that phone? That phone is better than the camera that I'm talking to you on right now. That phone has just as good of a microphone as what I'm speaking to you on this right now. Oh, microphone has the word phone in it, I just realized. So a lot of people, what they do when they have a new venture, whether it's an app, opening up a restaurant, having a business idea, they get caught up in logos and they get caught up in having the right software. Dude, when I wrote my book, HarperCollins India, my beta does computer things. Please give a review on Amazon India, folks. When I wrote my book, I was like getting all into like, I need to go to Starbucks and I need to freaking like be around like, you know, the mountains and like I need to be focused and concentrated and the house has to be clean. And the house is very clean right now because my wife is on my head to keep it clean, not doing the cleaning. I know you guys were thinking I was going there, but I'm not. But the point is, okay, so many of us, we do these things where we say we need to do all these things before we start. And that is what the book that I was reading called Resistance. And it's not something I expect anybody to understand. It sounds like a spiritual connotation. But anytime you say you want to do something, but only after you have that beer or only after your house is clean or only after there's peace and quiet in the home and the kids have left and no one's around and then you finally have that moment. But instead, what do? You probably watch some naughty stuff, you know, or you probably like just distract yourself or have a cigarette and then finally the things line up. But oh, it's already time for lunch. Oh, the dishes are kind of, dude, the amount of times I have cleaned because I don't want to do the work that I know I'm supposed to because the house is too dirty and a cluttered house is a cluttered mind. But basically, a lot of us, so many people of us, we get caught up in the planalizing and the analyzing and my website has to have the best theme and the best logo. Hey, what do you think of this logo? What do you think of this poster? You know how many crappy comedy shows exist? Because, you know, number one, so many empty shows happen with amazing posters and so many horrible shows happen with crap posters because the crap poster people are focused on just running the show and doing it and making sure there's a lineup and just sorting it out. And then every week people know that bar has people and things happen versus the people who get caught up in like the crazy, send me your high res images and send me, you know, it's like the wrong size. Dude, nobody cares about that stuff as much anymore. Nobody can tell the difference between a $10,000 microphone and a $100 microphone. And if they can, okay, fine, fair enough. But no one has ever like had a product, you know, broken. I'm not talking about making a Hollywood movie, but dude, half the things you see on social media, half the things that matter, even in software. Yes, they have a plan, analyze, design, build, test, implement, deploy, whatever, but they also have a proof of concept, and there's no point for you to stress out about your logo or to say that you need this book writing software that costs $400 that's going to like outline your chapters and give you bullet points and subheadings when you have Google Docs for free, and the majority of a book is actually writing the damn book paragraph after paragraph in a Google Doc, and then go ahead and add your headings and dress it up. That's all packaging, bro, okay? But ultimately, content is king. Look, if this podcast ever, and it has been doing well, thank you so much, but if it ever goes like to the next level, dude, of course, I would add more graphics and I would make it look a bit tighter and I'd probably invest in a better microphone. But at the meantime, when I first started and we only had a handful of listeners, and now we have thousands and thousands of people and hundreds of messages every week, it's like, dude, yes, I am focusing on getting the product out, refining the product, figuring out, listening to people's feedback, listening to what I want to do. How do I balance my creativity and the stuff I want to talk about with the stuff people want to hear? And that is what most people get wrong, because here's what most people do, myself included, okay? They will have ideas for apps. I want to make an app, bro. Bro, we should make an app that like freaking sends this parcel at 4 a.m. to this person. Or dude, what do you think of this font, this logo? Well, actually, I think the users might get distracted by shut up and just freaking make something. Yes, you can have a better color on your freaking add to cart button. Yes, you can have a better freaking pop-up, or yes, that dress is really nice, but maybe cut it this way. I don't know, whatever it is that you're doing, there will always be people. And here's the funny thing about critics and feedback, dude. People love to give you doubts and criticism. And well, what if that e-commerce store idea you have is great, but what if they just go to Amazon? Or that's great. What if they just, Flipkart might do that, or Swiggy will just, like, why should you make Dunzo? Because Swiggy already has the network and they're going to copy you. And sure enough, they are copying Dunzo. But there is a thing that we all read about in these analysis paralysis strategy sessions called first mover advantage. And so many people are scared of what could happen down the road. They're not looking freaking 10 feet ahead to see where they could be, which is probably way better off than they are right now. So it's like, it just makes no sense to me. It does make sense to me, sorry, because I've been there and I get it. And it's part of do the prep work, do the strategy, bro, freaking strategy. Yes, man, have a strategy, but strategies also, even the best laid out strategies are built on time tested, actionable, daily in the trenches work. All right. There's a reason. Usually, this is why I never had like a 22-year-old Bain or McKinsey consultant working with me at any job I've ever done when I was in corporate America, but I don't understand how these people can give you rock solid advice when they've never been in the trenches to know how human beings really are. Like, case in point, so many people at all the major platforms, so many people who are my friends who are like, oh, we should do a comedy show, or, you know, oh, you know, your comedy should be about this, or, oh man, Indians must get so offended because of religion and, you know, the sexual stuff, and Indians don't have a sense of humor. Are you crazy? Have you been to a bar? Have you been to a movie cinema hall? Have you been to a freaking, like, if you're not there daily getting real feedback from real humans and really understanding, like, why do most of these high and mighty fluffy VCs and like young kids in suits who have never even sold something a day in their life, like, why do a lot of the best writers from Silicon Valley, Andy Grove and freaking all these guys and some of the books I've read in the back, because I'm on that trip right now where I love reading, because that's my leisure at the moment more than Netflix. But why do they all say, like, listen to your customer, get feedback? What do you think being a data-driven company is? A data-driven company is basically seeing what people are doing and then changing or accommodating or enhancing your product to basically accommodate that, right? So I'm not telling you go like where the market is, but if you're not going anywhere, if you're just sitting there on your logos and your fonts and your ideas and sitting at a bar discussing and just like beating it with a dead hammer, dude, there's a one of my favorite quotes, I don't know who said it, is that done is better than perfect. And I get emails and questions and tweets and comments every day from people who are like, yeah, I just, you know, I want to write this, but I don't know. And do you have a stand-up comedy course? Is there a boot camp? Is there something? No, man, I'm trying to do my stuff and I'm trying to, like, you know, figure it out. And I'm in the trenches. So, like, I know it's kind of a jolt or whatever. And I'm not saying, again, I reiterate, Just don't let analysis paralyze you. Analysis paralysis. And don't forget, all of us, dude, need to start just doing things. And it's okay to make mistakes. And even if you make a $500 mistake, let's assume, here's what a lot of people do when they have like a website or a blog idea, okay? And this is why it screws them over in the long run. Because as my SD card runs out, one sec, folks. So here is what a lot of people do, okay? I've done this, so from experience, they'll have an idea for a business, okay? And they'll get caught up in the website, and they won't even care about the content or the product. They will just care about the packaging, but they won't ask, will people use this? And then if they will use it, how will they use it, right? So ultimately what happens is finally they make a decision after, you know, weeks or months or sometimes even years of thinking and flirting with this idea. Then they get too many people's opinions and then it fails. And now they've already spent $25 on a domain for a year or two. They've already spent $100 on hosting and they've committed to something. And then rather than seeing that as literally a lesson learned for the price of a nice dinner sushi restaurant out on a Friday night, okay, 100 or 200 bucks, you've learned. Now go back and change the domain or understand what customers you did get. And you know how you can serve them better or how you can change your product. But instead, they try to justify reasons for why things aren't sticking to their strategy. So rather than changing their strategy, they try to change the customer or change human behavior. And dude, we've all done this, you know, like, you know, me with comedy, for example. The comedy scene was moving to Hindi. It was moving to regional languages. It was not moving to something that was beneficial to me. So rather than me simply trying to say, I'm going to try to do Hindi too, or me rather try to give up, I'm trying to understand it. And I'm trying to see, okay, well, there's a market for those people, but there's also a market for these people who might like long form content, or they might like stuff that's more intimate or more personal. Or yes, I'm an English speaker, but let me go to where that market is for me. And that market clearly might be in podcasting, right? And for example, dude, speaking of podcasting, in this country right now, I guarantee you podcasting is on like an upward swing. And I guarantee you with geo, with internet, with data, I predict right now, especially with regional and Hindi languages, with Hindi and then Punjabi and Gujarati and Kannada and Tamil and Telugu and Bengali and whatever else, dude, your Uber driver, you know, your uncle, your grandpa, they care about more than freaking Kapil Sharma comedy nights. And they care about ISRO space launches and army stuff and the news and like Hollywood celebrities and all that. And so many people don't realize. Everybody asks me all the time, how do you start podcasting? What mic do I need? What do I got to do? As I said in the beginning, and I'm like, you just got to do it. That thing in your pocket, that phone is perfect, dude. So please, like, stop finding excuses, because I know it's comfortable. I know you can blame it ultimately on your camera wasn't the best megapixels or the sound was off, or you think you need to go to a studio. I do this in my living room, and I'm pretty sure if I just did a little bit more software tweaking, you guys would probably hear me even closer to studio level. You know what I mean? And no one, I think out of whatever, 100 episodes now or whatever it is, one person has said I was a little echoey once, but out of the other hundreds of thousands of listeners, no one has ever said anything. So like, come on, dude. I know I kind of ranted, as I always do, but that's our nice open dialogue on the BNN podcast every week. Like, rate, review. But please, please, please take a lesson from Nike. Don't get caught up in the analyzing. Don't get caught up in the planning. Just do it and then do it again. You know, another great quote for a writer, David Thoreau, or one of these guys was like, or Stephen King, I don't know who, but he was like, write and then rewrite. And dude, mistakes aren't really mistakes. They're just part of it. You know what I mean? Like, you could have a whole chapter just on mistakes, but a mistake is like making a left or making a right or just hitting traffic on the way to work. You shouldn't beat yourself up about it. If you're not making mistakes, you're definitely doing something wrong because you're living in a bubble. You know what I mean? In comedy, for example, there's a lot of guys and girls who are like very high and mighty, high society, and they never go to open mics. They never practice. They only practice, or they only do shows when the circumstances warrant it. For example, all their rich Bandra kiddie party friends like want to come for a show for a charity. And, you know, it's more of a pat on the back page three event. But those people who are doing comedy there never ever do real comedy at bars and clubs. And then they never get anything, you know, because they're only ever basically a glorified life of the party amongst their friends. So you need to be like taking your bruises. You need to be taking your bumps. But that's how you move forward. So, you know, to the younger people, I guarantee you, This is another thing we see. And again, my analogies are for stand-up, but you can apply them to anything. Like a 55-year-old guy who's a CEO who has tons of money in his bank account, like comes to like four open mics. He thinks he understands and he thinks he gets it. And then he like writes this big long piece and he comes to one of our shows and then he just bombs. Whereas a 22-year-old who has been coming every single week for the last 2 years is just miles ahead. So yes, I mean, the 22-year-old didn't plan and didn't strategize, but he was there or she was there every day and she was learning and pivoting and adapting. And I urge you, like, especially in today's world where things move so fast, even if you have the right strategy, it's not even going to matter in like a month from now, right? You may have this amazing, crazy Facebook ads campaign strategy or this amazing app launch strategy of how you're going to do. A buddy of mine is making a film, all right? I may or may not be in this film, but a buddy of mine is making a film. And he was like, I was like, how do you plan to promote the movie? You know, because obviously we're not going to have crores and crores of marketing budget. I was like, how do you plan to promote it? And he was like, oh, you know, like how they had like a ice bucket challenge and all that stuff. I'm going to have people do their own challenges. And I was like, who's going to do that? Because when you were making this movie, like on a script, yeah, Facebook had organic reach. And yeah, you know, those of us who liked those sorts of challengey things were having fun with it. Because ultimately, all those challenges, again, are about us, right? Not the charity or the cause. But I was like, nobody is going to do that anymore. So your strategy is outdated. So rather than try to come up with something new and delay your movie for another 3 months, let's just get your movie done. And when push comes to shove, we will figure it out. And yes, this also has mistakes too. So I'm not saying, final thing I want to say is, yes, do not just think that 80% planning and 20% execution, or vice versa, but try to keep it consistent, you know, 20% planning, 20% pivoting, 20% execution, whatever it may be. Cause I urge you, I promise you, in today's fast paced world, as my camera cuts out yet again, but we are done. You know, that is one very effective way to move forward. So yeah, guys, just get to it, man. I really hope that was helpful this week. It's something I struggle with all the time in podcasting as well. I mean, you can look back at this podcast and see I started it 3 episodes, then I stopped for 9 months, and now I've been consistent for about a year and a half in 2 years, and it's paying off. So go slow to go fast, but just go. All right, I'll see you guys next week. Birdie num num, birdie num num, a birdie num num. That's right.